You all can't see it, but there's a great big heart up here on the stage. So perfect. Thank you. Well, see if any of these situations seem familiar to you. You notice one day that you're feeling very lethargic and you're out of shape. And so you decide that you're going to start a new exercise regimen. You join the gym and you make the commitment that you are going to work out every single day. Well, you do this for maybe 2 weeks or so, and then you realize you're really tired, and that maybe this isn't going to be something you can keep up, and before you know it, you've stopped going to the gym altogether. Or imagine that you're in a relationship with someone who would like to be bonded at the hip, who wants to be with you 24/7. Well, I think maybe a few of you have experienced that. And you need a little bit more space, feel a little suffocated. Well, that relationship, let's say it ends, and then you move on to your next relationship. And there you find that you are now with someone who is extremely independent and very busy and doesn't have very much time for you. And suddenly you're the one who's needing more time together. Or how about this? You take a job at a company that has a culture of work hard, play hard. You get in there, man, you're so energized and invigorated, give it all you got. A couple years later, you're exhausted and burned out. So you tell yourself, I can't be here anymore, and you go home. You leave your job. And there at home, you're completely bored and restless, and you have more time on your hands than you know what to do with. Well, what is happening here? What is happening here is that you're living what I call a pendulum life. You're swinging from one extreme to the next. You're swinging from too much to too little. You know, we all do this in our lives from time to time as we try to find our way. We may do it out of habit. We may do it out of not knowing better. We may do it out of desperation. But if we can just step outside of that pattern for a few moments, we'll notice that we're not happy at either of the extremes. We're not happy when we're over-exercising, overworking, over-bonding, overdoing. We're not happy when we're under-working, under-relating, under-exercising, underdoing. And yet, when we're swinging from one extreme to the next, we have this idea that because we're in so much pain at this point, that if we just go entirely to the other point, we'll be happy. But what we find instead is that we expend an enormous amount of energy and we're never satisfied. We never feel that peaceful satisfaction. You see, life at the extremes can seem very alluring, but it's not sustainable. So allow me to offer a demonstration. It's like a pendulum. So a pendulum, if you notice the way a pendulum swings, it doesn't stay at the upper reaches for more than a moment. It hits the high point, and then it swings the other way, right? Back and forth. And it's only when it comes to rest at the midpoint that it can stay there indefinitely, because here is where it's balanced. Being in balance is how we are meant to live also, not the wild swings of overdoing and underdoing, but here in the middle way. Well, it takes us a while to learn this. Certainly when we're young, we're often into thrill-seeking and excitement, and I, for one, used to be a bit of a daredevil. I was very... Well, I was. And, you know, I mean, as a child, I was much more extroverted. And I had this affinity for fast go-karts and roller coasters and horseback rides. And I really was a risk-taker. I also took dares that my sister would frequently send my way. You know, when you're young, this idea of being moderate or being in the middle seems really boring. It's like, who wants to do that? Some people carry that same attitude with them into adulthood, into their adult thrill-seeking. For example, it was Mae West who once said, "Too much of a good thing is wonderful." And Oscar Wilde said, "Everything in moderation, including moderation." But you see, as we grow in our spiritual understanding, we see that life's deepest satisfaction doesn't happen in the wild swings of the pendulum, but rather in the calm place at the center. And so we take to heart the words of wisdom from Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great, really forefather of New Thought philosopher, who said, "Moderation in all things." Moderation in all things. You know, Emerson wasn't the only one who taught that. Indeed, all of the spiritual masters have pointed us in the direction of the center, of the middle way, of avoiding the extremes. So in Buddhism, it's called the Tao, T-A-O, the Tao, which simply means the way. It is the way to live in peace and balance and harmony. And it is this secret of the middle way of living between the extremes. Interestingly, the same words, the way, were the words that were initially applied to Jesus' teachings and his followers. Before they came to be known as Christians, which didn't happen until the end of the first century AD, they were called followers of the way. And the way was not a path to be traveled, but rather an example to be followed. It was the way of Jesus' beingness. It was the way of his teachings, the way of his consciousness. It was a way that was focused on remaining in this calm, centered connection with the divine and not losing ourselves in the extremes. And so we can see this in Jesus' teachings, those that are particularly familiar to us, such as turn the other cheek and love thine enemy. He was really saying, don't get into this retaliation thing. Don't live in an eye for an eye and keep this pendulum swinging wildly about who's right, who's wrong, attacking one another. Rather, stand in your own integrity. Find a way to behold the best in the other person. As you come from your center, from your higher self, the dynamic shifts entirely. We also see how he rejected extremism in the very rigid interpretation of Jewish law. So in his time, the Jewish authorities were very exacting. This is what it says. This is the literal way. We're going to do it this way. And they were so exacting about that, that it was beginning to choke off life, beginning to choke off the joy and the freedom in living. Now, Jesus didn't go to battle with them. Instead, he chose to draw attention to the spirit of the law, thereby bringing the spirit and the letter of the law into balance. So there's a great article I found online called The Tao of Jesus, The Tao of Jesus Christ, actually. It was written by a woman named Jeannie House, and she says, "Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought love and compassion in order to demonstrate the balance between love and wisdom and power." Back to the balance. He also integrated the masculine, spirit, or the father, with the feminine, Holy Spirit, or the mother. And he was the nexus of the flow between heaven and earth, between the Christ, the divine, and the human. You see, it's in this nexus of balance, in this centering place in the middle, where perhaps we draw the best from the polarities and we find the center point. That's where we find what Jesus spoke of as the kingdom of heaven. That is the secret of the middle way. It is this calm place of love and joy within us. Ever experienced that? Of course you have. It's like your oasis of inner peace. When you go there, you can make it through any challenge. You feel centered. It is also a place where you don't get caught up in the extremes swirling around you. It is your center in the storm. You know, every storm has a center, and the one we're most familiar with, particularly lately, is hurricanes, right? So a hurricane has an eye. It has that really remarkable place of complete calm and stillness in its center, where all of the forces of the storm or the hurricane are in equilibrium. Well, guess what? The storms in our lives have a center too. Not the E-Y-E, but the I, letter I. The I of the storm, the I am of our being, is that calm, still place within us that we can go to at any time. We can actually locate ourselves in that consciousness and in that space, even as these ferocious winds are spinning around us, where people are blaming one another and there's confusion and chaos and fear, and we can still be in that calm center as the storm passes. I know that's not an easy thing to do, but it is what the message has been from all spiritual masters and so beautifully exemplified by our way shower, Jesus the Christ. In his book, The Untethered Soul, which we've been discussing these past few weeks, Michael Singer writes, "If the only thing you want is to remain centered, if the only thing you want is to remain centered, then life unfolds while you simply feel for the center." You see, you're just trying to find the balance point. He says there's an invisible thread that passes through everything. All things move quietly through that center balance. That is the Tao. It is really there. It is there in your relationships, in your diet, and in your business activities. It is there in everything, this place of balance. It is the eye of the storm. It is completely at peace. This way, this place, is really there, and you can feel for it. Well, how do we find this place of peace? Well, the very good news is that we don't have to find it, we don't have to get it, we don't have to create it, because it's right here within us. We were born with it. It is the divine essence of who we are, this beautiful spirit, the presence of God in us that is innate to our very being. And if we're not seeing evidence of that in our lives, or if we feel like, where's God? I don't know where God went. It's not that God went anywhere. It's not that it isn't within you. It's just that you've either covered it over or you're so distracted you're not paying any attention to it. You know, the fact that you don't see and appreciate it and feel the light in you doesn't mean that the light isn't there. It just means that you've covered it over. And so our way of discovering it is not through stress or strain or frantic searching. If we want to find the presence of God in us, we just need to stop. We need to stop running around. Stop the pendulum swinging back and forth. Pause, relax, release, and allow that pendulum to come to center. You say we really have this choice at all times. We can spend our effort pushing that pendulum back and forth, looking here, looking there, which actually takes a tremendous amount of energy. And as Michael Singer so beautifully says, he says, the more extreme it is, the more it becomes a full-time project. That's true, isn't it? Yeah, the extremes just take all of our energy. But if we choose to not participate in that, And very naturally, we come back to a place of balance. Well, how do you do that? How do you not participate in the extremes? You just commit to not going there. So you don't do things like overcommit, overdo, overdramatize, overreact. You see, there's a way you can catch yourself from kind of spinning out of control there. You just don't play that game anymore. You don't believe the melodrama of the mind. Oh, the mind is very creative. And so you don't tell yourself things like, I'll never have another job. Now that this relationship didn't work, I'll be alone for the rest of my life. Since I can't go to the gym, I guess I'll just be a couch potato. You don't tell yourself things that have this extreme all or nothing feel to them. And you don't seek out the polarities. You look for that place in the center. Well, in our study of the untethered soul, we've learned some really valuable techniques, and I've actually been using them pretty regularly myself, and I love it. Hopefully some of you are as well. The first one is to find our place of balance, is to learn to be the observer. We learn to observe. We step back from whatever turmoil is going on or whatever situation is taking all of our energy. We take a step back, feel ourselves in a greater consciousness, and then we can ask ourselves things like if we're angry, who is noticing that I'm angry? If we're sad, who is aware that I'm sad? And we can ask ourselves that question over and over again, and I actually have done this. And we ask the question over and over again, not so that we'll get the right answer, you know, not because we're looking for a certain definitive response. We say it because it completely shifts us to this open-endedness, to this mystery. Who is noticing you're sitting here right now? Who is aware of this place? Who or what? You see, as we give ourselves over to that, we feel release and freedom. Well, the other thing I've really loved, another technique from this book, is that when you're in your observer role, your higher self, if you will, your higher consciousness, you can actually see when a big energy around a thought or emotion is coming your way, right? You always have that split second, maybe a few seconds. You can sort of feel it coming. When it's coming your way, you make the conscious choice to let that energy pass through you, to not get stuck in you. It doesn't mean you deny what's going on. It doesn't mean you don't respond thoughtfully. It means that you don't internalize it so that it turns into a very big deal, an extreme story in which you lose yourself. So you let it pass through. Then you're in a position to thoughtfully respond. Step forward and do what is yours to do. You know, this idea of balance is so central and so critical to our spiritual path. It is central to our physical well-being, to our spiritual well-being. The idea of balance is critical in our community and in our country and in our world. And I would say right now that in this country, we are quite off balance. I would say that what has been unfolding with the election coming and all that this season has brought, that most, if not all of us, are feeling very extreme emotions, tremendous amount of pain, tremendous amount of fear. And what does that make you want? It makes you want to come back to a place of peace and oneness and centeredness and wholeness. It is a perfect example of us as a society trying to find our balance again, relieve ourselves of the pain of being out of balance. In this election, we cannot get wrapped up in the emotion. I know that can be very challenging, but I've seen how families and friendships are being divided over this election, and we can choose to not play into that and not feed it. Instead, we simply do what is ours to do. And what is ours to do? Vote. Vote. We vote, and then we wait. And I would ask that in addition to that, after we voted, that we send some prayers out for our country, that we make a commitment to be healing agents in our society. For surely the world needs our light and our country needs it. And we can be the ones who help this nation come back to its center. You see, as a country, as individuals, as a community, we don't have to swing from one extreme to the next. It's very painful to do that. We don't have to be on top of the world one day and wallowing in misery the next. I learned that as a teenager. I learned that after I was a teenager. You don't have to be this wild roller coaster ride. That in fact, as we grow in consciousness, we can actually have this glorious feeling of looking at the twists and turns of our lives, the pattern, the tapestry that is being woven there. I feel a sense of appreciation and gratitude, no matter what it is. We can choose to not play to the extremes. We can choose to relax and release. And as we do that, our pendulum comes very naturally back to the center. And this, my friends, is where we find peace. This is where we discover the secret of the middle way. This is where we find God. Let's prepare now for our meditation. Let's take a moment now to close our eyes, get comfortable in your seat, and let's just take a deep breath in. And as we release, just let go, let go, let go. Let go of any energy that's been stirred up in you, any concerns, fears, worries, or doubts. This is our time to tune into that peaceful center within us, to connect with the God of our being, the spirit of our understanding. Take another deep breath in and just let go. As we do, we appreciate the sacredness of this present moment. We observe ourselves connecting with the divine. We feel our hearts reach out to everyone in this sanctuary and far beyond. We breathe into our oneness. Breathe into peace. Breathe into love. In this moment, there is nothing to fear or worry about. This moment is perfect. And every moment that follows has that same potential. I invite you to imagine a wave of light, a peaceful, soothing presence at the top of your head, moving very slowly through your body, to the tips of your toes. Breathe into this comforting presence. Feel the love that is there. Feel how very precious you are. I invite you to release, give yourself over to this divine flow. And commune with the Spirit within you in the silence. From this place of peace within us, we begin to feel joy bubbling up within us, filling our hearts. We feel a quickening of spiritual energy and the desire to be the hands, the feet, the voice, the heart, the love of God in expression. We are on our way, and we are grateful. And so it is. Amen. Thank you.